Well, we're back on the train, and...
Speaking of the dead.
Yeah, because...
And Asian cultures.
We still never know, like, what's going on with the train, but, you know,
I have some thoughts.
You have new thoughts?
New thoughts
on the train?
I don't know if they're new thoughts, but they're, like...
Affirmed thoughts?
They're kind of, like, recycled, repurposed thoughts, I would say.
Okay, fair. We've come to, which is apparently, I guess, the end of the fucking series. I'm very annoyed with this.
We need to discuss this. Yeah.
Yeah. Because all the articles I have been seeing since, I feel like every time I see articles about the show, it's right before the new season drops. And I'm like, this is just not making me hopeful for, like, what's going, like, because, I mean, with 3, it was just like, are they going to do a season 4? And I'm like, why are you telling me that at the beginning of season 3? But okay. And then, you know, with 4, I was like, this is probably definitively the end of the show. And I'm like, well, fuck my drag.
Did they know going in that they weren't going to do another season? Because it seemed like they thought there was going to be a season 5.
From everything that I've read, it's shaking down to be one of those things where they're like, oh, we don't know if this is profitable for the target margins that we're trying to hit. And I'm like, they're trying to appeal to children, and they're like, I don't know. I feel like I get really annoyed when people keep trying to do this thing where they, like, kind of insult children's intelligence, where I'm like, they can digest complex thoughts and, like, understand it later. You don't always have to understand everything as it happens.
Yeah.
Because seldomly do you. And, I mean, that's a huge point in the series as well. But for some reason, they just think, like, this is too mature for children. And I'm like, excuse me, I grew up watching, like, literally DC animated shows as a child from, like, the ages of, like, 6 to 12. I was watching Batman, Spider-Man, all these dark-ass shows. I'm like, I think I watched Mary Jane Die, like, 3 times. And I'm like, I was watching this on Fox Kids. Not only that, Digimon. That shit was way dark. So I'm like...
It's true. And you know what? Do you think that was a network note that they got? Because that would explain a lot about this season.
I think it may be, because it seems a lot. It seems to me, it feels like it's coming directly from, like, the HBO Max area where they're like, we're iffy. But, you know, Cartoon Network was also very iffy, I guess. And I'm like, you do Adult Swim also. So I'm like, yeah. I think you have the range, because you are Cartoon Network. You can range in your cartoon diversity.
Yeah, I would be surprised if that was a Cartoon Network note and not like a general marketing note, because Cartoon Network has aired some dark shit, like, forever they've aired.
Yeah.
Some weird and dark shit. It's very weird. I don't know. I would be really surprised. But this season to me did seem way more geared towards children. There was a lot more silliness. I was like, what is going on here?
Which is funny, because they were older. They were like, I guess, 18? They seemed like they were in their 20s by the time that we got to where we were.
I think they were 18 because he gets the letter to go to college.
I know. It just seems like so much time passes. But, I mean, you know, I guess that's life.
Yeah, they gave us, like, a lot of their history right off the bat. They gave us a ton of, like, their background. Like, we watched them over a lot of years. And I was like, it would have been interesting if we had started with them on the train and gone back to that. Although maybe they didn't want to do that because they did that a lot of other seasons. I don't know.
Well, because season 2, yeah, 2 and 3, they start out on the train, so
yeah,
it makes sense why they wouldn't want to do that. I guess they were like, we really want to button it with, you know, kind of where we started with season 1 of Tulip getting on the train. So,
yeah, it was just like...
Plus, this is a prequel, so...
It was just like a lot of... Yeah, that's true. It is in the timeline of the show. Happens before Tulip, right?
Yeah. So all the other seasons happen in chronological order except for this one. This one is the beginning.
Like, we see the conductor again.
Yes.
Meaning the scary
Amelia.
Wire thing. I mean the scary. Yeah. What's the scary wire thing?
I don't know what they're called. I can't remember what it's called.
Because I was like, oh, I'm so glad that horrifying monster is back.
I think it's like a monitor or something like that. I can't remember what they're called. Mm-hmm. But those things popped up. Honestly, I love the random bits in this that fill in information that I wanted to know about the series. That's why I really love this season as much as I did. But I mean, this season also had a lot of very interesting concepts that I loved how they digested. Like, honestly, the writing on the show is just so well done, how they boil down these like kind of complex things down to just very simplistic things that can be represented just in their settings and like location and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. They like, I mean, even though this season was a little bit more like silly and like seemed a little bit younger, they still managed to do that really well because I think the writers are just like amazing. they just know what they're doing. And I trust them with my life. But yeah, I think here's the thing. I think if this were not to be the last season, if we were to get a season 5, I would have liked the way that they filtered in the little bits of information, because I'm like, okay, that would have been a fun little like distraction from the rest of the storyline that we're just like getting little bits. And then in season 5, we sort of wrap up a couple other things, like Amelia's story and the cat. I mean, we all know I want to see more of the cat. I've talked about the cat 100 times.
Oh, yeah. Like, Samantha's story and also, like, whatever happened to dude who died at the end of season 3.
I don't really care about him. I want to know if she was fucking that bear. Like, that is still a question that has gone unanswered, and I need answers.
That's fair.
Owen Dennis tweeted me.
So supposedly if they're the other two things that I know that were at least planned for this particular property was there was a movie that was supposed to do Amelia's story. So I'm guessing it was supposed to summarize how she got there and mm-hmm. the end, like in like ending her story, which would probably like, I guess, button up the series where it would like kind of end it. Mm-hmm. But there was also a video game planned. ? And I mean, I'm most interested in that just because I'm like, what would that even be like?
Like, that would be cool because it would be a tie to back to Tulip and her being a
game designer.
A gamer girl. Yeah, I guess like I don't know. Like, we can we can put a pin in this if we want and actually talk about the season. Because we haven't even gotten to what happens this season yet. But I think mostly, like, to me, this for such a complex story and concept and world that we're living in, this to me did not feel like a good ending to that world. Like, I don't really even because, like, we did see how Amelia got there, like, in some respect. Like, we somewhat did see that. So, like, I don't need a full Amelia season or movie or whatever. I feel like tonally and, like, story-wise, like, this season did not button up this world for me. And that's that on that for me.
Yeah, I can agree.
So, and I saw some onions online that I think agree.
Okay. I'm very anxious to hear those, so I would let's just dive right on into this.
Yeah, let's talk about this actual like what happened this season.
So interestingly enough, we had some here.
We had Canadian homosexuals.
I know. I was kind of getting that vibe at first. Like way before the season even started. I thought it was like, oh, this is gonna be for Pride Month, this is gay guys.
No, they were gay. I don't care if they were intended to be gay, but they are.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. See you guys next week.
Yeah, I don't want to delve too much into that because I'm just like, then I feel like we'll go on a tangent. And But in general,
I liked their relationship, like, in general. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if they were intended to be, because they did have that in the beginning. Glasses guy was like hooking up with all those random girls.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, but like, the way that you're treating this guy is like more than like you would treat a friend. But, you know, listen, love is love. So
yeah, guy love, as they so well depicted on Scrubs.
But yeah, no. So we had our Asian leads. I thought that was a good
Minji and Ryan.
Ryan. Mm-hmm. They were fun.
I really enjoyed them.
I did too. And I liked that they were both Asian, first of all, that it wasn't just like a random diversity, you know, throw in there. Like, we really, like, they had this relationship because of, I think, their families knew each other, right? That was the whole beginning.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's the interesting thing. I'm like, I think the dads met each other in the waiting room, because, like,
that's what it seems like.
Well, because at first I was just like, oh, I think they're like friends, but then, like, it seems like they met there, because he was like, oh, is this your first? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, this is our, like, fifth or something.
Yeah, that was, I think they did meet there, but then they were like best friends, so
I know,
they were like going to cookouts together.
Yeah, and that, I like the interesting dynamic that they showed, because it was a, because I mean, they're obviously not native to, well, this is a Asian family that is in Canada, that, you know, one is, they have multiple kids, one is like a only child. Mm-hmm. So it's like different dynamics from like the pressure of these, you know, mm-hmm. immigrant family. I don't even know if right. I want to call them immigrant families, because I mean, I feel like Minji's parents were, because they had like, the mom had like a particular accent or like way that she was talking. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure about like Ryan's parents. But then again, he was kid number five. So they're really just like, get the fuck out of here.
I guess that's true. I also missed the fact that Ryan was like one of five, so that's a good character note, because I didn't realize that. I wasn't paying too
well,
much attention.
Well, you remember, like,
beginning.
He disappears for like a while. He's like, oh, let's like run away together or whatever. Like, no, and then he leaves and like goes off and has these multiple relationships or whatever, and is living mm-hmm. in this van. And I'm like, only a kid who's like one of five, where they wouldn't be so pressured to be like, oh my god, get him back.
Yeah, definitely. No, I did think it was weird that his parents weren't like, hey, but I didn't think that much about it, because that was only
They're
the first
just like,
episode.
Do you?
Yeah, which is cool.
You need to go find yourself. You right, need to exactly. go find your gay self
by sleeping with all these women, apparently.
And then coming back to get your best friend.
After asking this man to run away with you and then getting upset when he doesn't. I'm just like, okay. Anyway.
Run Away With Me by Carly Rae Jepsen. A gay anthem.
Yeah. No, the first episode was interesting to me, like, first of all, for this show and pacing-wise. And I found that this season to be different pacing wise. I don't know if you
No, I agree, because of, it was predominantly probably because of the whole, like, the summation of their lives from like babies to like where they are, like when they get on the train, which I think was just one full episode. It was just the first episode. Like, that was completely different from like what we've gotten before, because I mean, like, we've gotten it a little bit with Tulip and like how she got on the train in the very beginning, but that was, I feel like, fairly short in comparison. Yeah. Maybe it was like just the whole first episode, how she got there, like on the train, versus like, because I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember when the quirky guy comes in.
I would say that her, I mean, maybe it just felt shorter, but it seemed like her exposition was a little shorter, because she was just like, my parents are getting divorced. Bye.
Oh yeah, they shotgun that shit. It was really more of her getting on this train, but that's fine. We really had to get introduced to this concept. Like, this time they could do the legwork of like, the people on the train, so you care about them.
Yeah.
Which I can understand.
I love Tulip. I miss her.
She is fun. I miss her too. I wonder what she's doing now.
I wonder what she's up to. She's creating a bomb ass video game and somewhere.
Hopefully this video game.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I really liked Ryan and Min and their deal. They had a very like yin and yang thing going, you know, like different personalities. And I always appreciate like a dynamic that is not opposites, but like where they like have extremely different qualities, but then bring out the best in each other. Like, you know, sort of like almost meet in the middle sort of a thing, which they like was kind of a theme this season. Cause there was like that whole dynamic of like Min being like, oh, you like Ryan, you just need to do this and this and this, and you need to be more like me, and that's how we're gonna get our numbers down. But like, actually, it was both of them that needed to learn from each other. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I did really like that, like the dual number thing. But also that was like a great bit when we first saw it, because Amelia was just like, two, like they have the same number. It's like, has that ever happened before? And he was like, no. Well, it's like, what happens if they can't get their number down? It's like, they'll die on here. And he's just like so cavalier about it.
Yep.
And it always makes me think about my roommate, because like when I first got him to watch the series, the number one thing he always said in season one is that he hates 1-1. And I thought that was so funny.
That is very funny. How do you hate 1-1? He's just,
I know. I just,
the guy.
I thought it was so funny. Just like, I hate him. It's like,
he's literally the robot from, I'm blanking.
Oh, Guardians, not Guardians, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes. I was like, Galaxy. Yeah, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's literally that robot. I forget what that robot's name is. It's like Marvin or something.
Yeah, great robot.
Yeah, but he's literally like 1-1 is literally it's almost the same character. It cracks me up. But yeah, how did you feel about this season's weird, funky little sidekick, which every season has?
Oh, Kez. I love Kez.
Yeah, I was like, I like that we went. Last week we talked about Kaz, and this week we're talking about Kez.
So I loved Kez.
Her, it, I don't know.
I thought, I really liked Kez because I feel like I kind of identified a little bit. Because some of the stuff I'm just like, because Kez was just like, well, I tried to do this and then that got messed up and I was just like, whatever. Like, let me just get out of here.
I feel like it would have been so realistic if Kez just had, like, a blunt the entire time. She was just like, whatever, man.
I had to go look up the episodes because I was trying to remember which specific ones made me laugh the most. Because I loved the Old West car. Mm. That was really funny. Because we were literally just watching people, like, bugs just straight up die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just left and right.
Yeah, they snuck that one in there because there wasn't a lot of like dark shit going on this season, but that was like, I was like, they they snuck that in there. They pretended this was fun, but this is horrific if you think about it.
I know, but that was okay. What was really funny is it was like very horrific from, I guess, our perspective, but from like a child, they would just be like, this is hilarious, because it was so wacky, everything that was happening.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they really were just like, ha ha ha.
Oh, they really blended a lot of those. Remember the other one with where they were waiting for the club or whatever, and he knocked the thing over and they were all dead.
They were all dead.
They were just suits of dust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was no explicit death this season, but like there was like, it was in there. You know what I mean? They snuck it in.
There were like, there's real life consequences in this world. So.
Apparently.
Which again, yeah, exactly. It's not a metaphor. It's like, you're physically on the train. You've been missing for 6 weeks. I'm like,
that's what confuses me the most. That's what confuses me the most. But you know what was truly horrific was the gigantic pig baby. I did not like that. I did not care for that.
Ooh.
I found that to be horrifying. I was like, if I was a child watching this, I would have nightmares about this pig baby. I didn't like him.
I can agree with that. I did feel equally as uncomfortable. Horrible. And what's really funny, it's just funny because of like all of the people that were following Kez around. It was like the old prospector from the West, Pig Baby and the Milk Mom, the aliens that were all like, you changed us into whatever. And what I thought was so funny is like at the end of that one episode, they were like pissed off or whatever. Like, have you seen Kez? They're like, nah, but you know, like, why are you still mad? You're literally about to go to your vacation or whatever. They're like, well, you fucked with us, so I'm mad.
Yeah. I liked the aliens. They're fun. I liked their little, oh yeah, because they were like, oh, why are you wearing those parkas? And they're like, because we were about to go skiing.
Yeah, aren't they like eyeballs or whatever?
No, the eyeballs were their final form, I think, when they turned the dial all the way up. And it was like their most advanced form. That was the eyeballs. But I think the aliens were like the actual, like the in-between, what they actually were.
Yeah, but I love that.
And I was also like, because I think at one point they turn the dial back and they turn into like these very primitive, like monkey-like creatures. And I was like, okay, are you positing that humans are going to evolve into aliens? I was like, is this what we're hypothesizing here?
Well, once we get that information from the government about aliens, we'll know definitively.
We're never going to get it, Chad. We're never going to get it.
No, that'll be the funny thing. They're just like, tell us about aliens. And they're just like, we're the aliens. The call is coming from inside the house.
Well, we are to somebody. Like, there's something else out there. We're the aliens. Like, hello.
I mean, you're not wrong, but... Yeah, I agree. I just thought they were all really funny because I think that was it. It was just like the four of them all together. And oh yeah, and the bouncer guy.
The bouncer.
He lost his job because we let you into the club, and it's like, how is that my fault?
They were like, he has like seven kids or something, and I was like, he was also terrible at his job. He was just standing there while a bunch of dead people were waiting to get in. I'm like, maybe that was not on.
Yeah. Her. No, that's what I thought was so funny about some of these things with Kez, where I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see where you're like, oh, this was your fault. And I'm like, but is it really?
What were the bugs? What was their problem with her? I forget.
Honestly, I genuinely cannot remember. I just remember she had run amok on that tree.
Yeah.
Like when it came to like the pig baby thing, it was like, she melted all the butter.
The butter.
So I understood that.
Was that the train?
Oh.
Was that the car?
No, she caused a grease fire and burned all of the cookbooks. So there was just that really gross cookbook left.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was like, that was definitely her bad. But was that the car where she had the chef's hat on and she was like, call me Lorraine or whatever it was? That was great. Yeah, I did really like her. She was a fun one. She was definitely like out of any of the companions, she was like the fun one.
Yeah, I would agree. She was the funniest.
Yeah.
But they all, I enjoy that what they got, like when it comes to like the companions, they're always paired with the person that they kind of need.
That was one of my thoughts this season. About the train as a whole, which, like, obviously that happens because narratively it makes fucking sense for the show. But, like, I was like, oh, does the train, is that part of what the train does? Is, like, pairs the companions with who they need to be paired with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it kind of seems just almost circumstantial of, like, whoever they come in contact with.
I don't know. Like, again, like, is the train a sentient being?
It's true. I mean, it does move the move stuff around.
Answer my questions.
Okay, but we did get some answers here. So we got like, all right, number one thing I loved about this season is we understood. All right, so
yes,
every other season, everyone's just wearing normal clothes because they come in and they're just wearing whatever they're wearing.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Minji and Ryan, they got whole ass outfits.
They did.
That are supposed to help them.
Yep.
Like, the outfits are supposed to keep them warm and protected and blah, 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 no matter what environment they go into the train.
Yep.
And then they also have those boots that keep them gravitationally locked to wherever they're going.
Yeah.
Because you remember in, like, the pig car or whatever, things are like all over the place, mm-hmm. but it like they can get there because of their shoes.
Yeah.
And which I find funny because no one else has those in any of the other seasons except for that one guy in season 3. And I feel like he may have gotten this from Samantha.
Oh, or no, he may Samantha, have found
them when they were
Samantha is wearing that outfit in season 3. Right? Isn't she wearing like a similar outfit?
Which outfit?
Like what they have on.
You know Samantha's the cat. I don't really remember her wearing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Amelia.
No.
Isn't
No, Amelia was wearing like a remnant of that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, sorry. That's what I meant. Amelia just call the cat the cat. I'm gonna get confused if we call her Samantha. I forgot that was her name. I'm not gonna lie.
That's I always remember because I think that's really funny.
It is
her name is Samantha and she's a cat.
It is very funny. Yeah, no, and then halfway through this season, the scary wire guy came back and was like, here's your clothes. And I was like, why did they do that? Like
every time he pops up, it's like super terrifying. It's really funny because that is such a, I found that everything that happened with Amelia in 1-1 was like a full on religious metaphor. It literally felt like it was straight directly out of the Bible because it was so funny where they're like, because you know, like in the Bible, whenever God shows up or like angels or whatever, they're just like, they fucking scare everybody and they're like, be not afraid.
Sorry, I just love that you were like, you know, in the Bible. Like, yes, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Go on, because I think you're on to something. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's just funny because it's like how when the angels appear and they'll be like, be not afraid. And that's kind of like how it would show up. Be like,
yes.
Here's your stuff. Or I just have like a little polite message to tell you because it would be like in 1-1's voice. Be like, hi, everybody. Blah, 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 blah.
I think you totally might be on to something. I really like that comparison. And it's also interesting that that's the way we saw the wire guy, the wire, whatever the hell, the monster this season. But in Tulip season, it was full on a villain. And then in this season, because we already know what it is and it's not quite the villain anymore, it was more of like the filler for like Amelia. So yeah, that was interesting. I mean, and I liked that with this being a prequel. Like, I was like, oh, we're getting to see different sides of the story that we've already seen. Mm-hmm. We have a different perspective.
Yeah, this really just made me want to know Amelia's story more because she was with 1-1 as if either he was her companion or B, she just decided to be like, fuck that, and like went to the front of the train and figured out how to get, like, she's like, I don't care about any of this other random stuff, mm-hmm. and found her way to the beginning of the train and like was just with him because she seemed to be the only human that was with him. There were nothing but like robots and like things that attend to the train around him.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because he's the true conductor, right?
Yeah, and he was, like, telling her stuff, like, because remember when she asked about the whole, like, number thing, he was, like, telling her, he was mm-hmm. like, oh, blah, 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 because, you know, to him, it's just information, mm-hmm. which I find funny. He's like, it's neither good nor bad, it's just information, mm-hmm. which, again, goes into that whole, like, 1-1 thing, the binary code type thing. It's like, it's just information.
Right. Yeah. I can't quite remember season 1, like, what information we got with their story. So I might be speaking about stuff we've already seen, but I feel like they didn't really show us. They just showed us that Amelia got on the train and became the conductor, right? They didn't really show us in depth about that story. Or, like...
No, we saw a little bit of her tape, which alluded to, like... why she was there. It was because of like her husband who died or whatever. Yeah. And she was just trying to, it just kind of alluded to that, like how she got on the train. I'm wanting to watch her have like the same story that we've gotten with the other seasons where we get to see her grow and get the fuck off the train. Because I'm like, at some point she's gonna have to.
That's true. She has like the biggest number, right? She has the longest.
Yeah, which
number.
Is funny because I feel like that's really kind of more of just a metaphor of her just not wanting to deal with her grief. She's like, I never have to deal with it if I don't get off this train. And I'm never getting off this train, so I gotta deal with it.
And relatable. Yeah, that's true. She did. I feel like when we saw her in season three, she really had that like mentality that she was never gonna get off. So she just was kind of like, I'm just here and I'm just doing this for now. So yeah.
Do you know what moment I loved and I was waiting for you to bring up at some point was the scary thing, because I don't remember what it's called. The
angel, we can call it now.
Yeah, the angel. When it showed up the last time and it was Amelia and it was just like, you are free now or whatever.
That was
and
with then the clothes. It just like,
yeah, and then it just took the boots and then flew off into the middle of nowhere and exploded. And I thought that was the funniest fucking shit.
Yeah, that was so very was just funny. Like,
and I'm like, isn't that always the way? It's just one day someone shows up and they're like, you are free. And you're like, of what? And they're like, you are. And then just
leave. And then they fly off and explode. I wish.
You're like, what the fuck was that explosion in the distance? Well, I guess we'll never know.
You know that meme that's like, God, I wish that were me. I wish I could just fly off and explode. Yeah, that was very funny. No, that was the moment with the clothes. Like, I think they were like, alluding to somehow Amelia had come to the decision that the passengers needed to be in their clothes because of some sort of like identity crisis.
Yeah.
That they looked like, you know, maybe they looked more like prisoners or like felt like prisoners in their gray uniforms. So I don't know. That's how I took that. But you know that I like to half pay attention sometimes.
Yeah, they were kind of like alluding to this whole oppressive, well, at least from her perspective, and some type of oppressive nature behind the train where like the train puts you on and it's like, oh, it's just going to keep you here. It's like, if you can't learn your lesson and get off the train, then you're a prisoner. So it was like,
yeah,
more like jail. So much like you were saying, more like jail rather than a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But I just find it funny how she got from point A to point B, like where we see her in like season yeah. one, where she's just like, fuck everybody else.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get all Rick back.
Exactly. Oh yeah, I forgot that was the same. But like, again, like the train, I don't know. It's just, it's just interesting. Like what they've, the sort of world that they've built around this, and like, we talk about it as like, oh, the train is doing this, but like, is it? Or is it?
I believe the train is a sentient being, because like, thinking back to season one, when 1-1 gets to like the final thing and like jumps into like the compartment or whatever,
yeah.
he like calls it mom or something like that. Mm. So I believe it to be an actual sentient being. So
I mean, if a bell can get up and you know, fly around and talk, then yeah, this fucking train is definitely.
How about, I love the argument when they like, I think it was like the penultimate episode or whatever, when they were like yelling, they yelled at Kez or whatever. They were just all like, y'all like, blah, 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 I'm a bell. And I'm
yeah. Yeah. I also really liked their, like the three of them and their dynamic. And I saw somebody on Tungle compare it to the Over the Garden Wall dynamic of like Wirt, Beatrice, and child. I'm having a day. Greg? Is it Greg?
Yes. Yes. There we go.
My mind is just a blank TV screen today. But yeah, I saw somebody compare it to that dynamic and I was like, oh, that's a pretty good comparison, like two boys from the real world trying to find their way through something, and then you have a very almost apathetic quote-unquote
companion,
yeah, quote-unquote female companion who ultimately leads them to danger, but then that's not actually her intention. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's, it's kind of the same dynamic, but
yeah.
But yeah, I thought I liked them. I liked those three together.
Yeah. It's really kind of like the complex way that they like interwove the issues of like, oh, all of them have problems. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and it kind of teaches kids that issue of like, you know, everybody has problems that they're not necessarily dealing with, because, you know, how Kez was just like, never says sorry. Right. And like, goes about their life doing whatever, just jumping from situation to situation. Yeah. Pretty much. And I love at the end where it was like, oh, I thought like if I just like brought everybody together, we could all just like talk it out or whatever, we would just be fine. They were like, why would you think that would be okay? And I'm like, okay, but why are you yelling at Kez? Because I'm like, I do think that you probably did need to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then it ended where there was just like, I don't know how I feel. They're like, I just need to be alone.
I like that this show is like, you know, deals with like extremely complex concepts and emotions such as grief and love and like that sort of stuff, and really like, you know, does metaphors and allegories, and then also in the same breath we'll do a plot line that's just like, you need to say you're sorry, which is like something you learn in kindergarten.
I know, but how many times do we need to learn that lesson?
It's true. Sometimes we need to relearn it. And I think that's maybe the point they're making. It's like, you know, you get told these sort of things when you're young, but then like, do you really follow through that, or do you need to like learn that lesson again for reals? Oh, can we talk about the castle? Because as we were talking about the train being a sentient being, I was like, oh, maybe the castle is like, not a metaphor, but like, is the castle is symbolic of like actually what the train is. The train just doesn't talk and interact with its residents.
Yeah. So what's weird about the train is I feel like the train is like all of those things.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the whole Mother Earth concept type thing. That's how I feel about the train. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like everything has its own, like, emotions and feelings and thoughts and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. And I can agree with that.
Did you love the gay metaphor in there? With, like.
Which one?
You made Jeremy leave. And it's just like, I didn't make him leave. It's just like, you know.
Was that a gay metaphor?
It felt like one where it was like one of those things where it's just like, I didn't make him leave, but you know, like he needed to leave because he couldn't be with you because he's gay.
Hmm. Interesting.
That it was funny because that felt like one, but I did really love that she was just like, no, like I was just, he was just talking about like how he got here, and he was talking about it, like he got into a car crash, and it's like, you know, you didn't do like, you didn't do that, right? Yeah. And then it's like, for whatever reason, he heard me. And then just, his number went down to zero and went poof.
No, I do. I did love the conclusion of that storyline. Like, he had never thought about it that way before. I'm like, and it seemed like he had been there for like, what, 5 years? And I was like, that never occurred to you that like, it wasn't your fault?
I mean, sometimes it just hits you. Life comes at you fast. One day it just clicks. And that's what we call a breakthrough, ladies and gentlemen.
Sometimes you're Jeremy and you're just trying on a bunch of hats and you just don't have time to think about how you didn't kill your family. These are the important lessons that Infinity Train teaches us.
I know, but what's also really funny about that is they made it also seem like he just died. Like, Jeremy died.
They did make it seem like that.
Which is very different from like season 3, where you could like die because they were like, wheel it. And I'm like, so.
So many people died in season 3, like explicitly, and it still haunts me.
Which is again why they're all like, I'm a little hesitant to greenlight you for another season. How many people are you gonna kill?
That's why they had to sneak it in there this season. Yeah, I feel like they tried. They really tried. They were like, no, it's fun, it's fun. But, like, it's still kind of horrifying. I'm like, but I love that. Like, I love crossing that line. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like I watched a lot of cartoons as a youth that, like, really bordered that line. And I'm like, I love that. I think kids can handle it. I don't understand why people think, like, to your earlier point about kids dealing with, like, more complex stories, like, I also think kids can, like, handle seeing a character die. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, they need, sometimes they need that. Or, like, I don't know.
It's just a part of life. It happens. It's
literally
the sooner you get used to it, the better you'll be. Now, there's a difference between that and dealing with, like, an abundance of tragedy in your life.
No.
And the difference between that is being a normal person and being Bonnie from The Vampire Diaries.
Sure. A reference.
Who has all of
a reference I who very has much. All of
her immediate family died.
Understand.
Sorry, I'm rewatching it right now, so that's just a little tangent. But anyway, just to get us back on point.
I think I told you before we started recording that you should have a guest host on for that finally, because I will never ever watch it.
So two more things I want to definitely talk about. Mm-hmm. One was the museum car.
Oh, that was a cool one.
I loved that episode.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, also, talk about fucking scary things. That fucking monster in that was so fucking creepy.
I liked that.
And it was just hands. It was just hands.
I liked that. You know what, though? I wasn't as scared of that as I was of the gigantic baby pig. Like, I did not, I just, the baby pig disturbed me, like, to a level. And the hands, the shadow hands monster, I was like, oh, this is a cool, like, horror thing.
Yeah.
Like, I truly was like, oh, cool. And the baby pig, I couldn't handle it.
I guess it's just the difference between being perturbed and intrigued.
Yes. Like, I was like, there's, I don't know, there's just certain things that, you know, like, there's a difference between being, like, scared and being disturbed. You know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah, the museum car, definitely a top tier car for me. Like, definitely in my top three cars.
Oh, wow. Do we have to do a top three cars?
I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I feel like we can release our lists on social media, because I'm going to have to remember all of them, but definitely museum car is in the top three for me.
Ooh, debutante car. Loved that one. I love the character, the design on that one.
What was that one? I can't remember.
That was last season, or season three, where they had to do the dance to get out of the car.
Oh, the drag show car.
No, not that one. Oh. That one was when you just had to walk down the runway and stretch.
Oh, I know. Oh, it was like the fancy dance. They had to learn the waltz.
Where they had the chandelier that was talking to them.
Yeah. It was like Beauty and the Beast, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was just like really cool design.
I think RuPaul's Drag Race car was also in my top cars.
I love that they really didn't have to do anything on that, but I'm like, no, Drag Race, if you come down the runway and just do that, well, guess who went home.
Yeah, they just kind of dressed them up. I think I have this saved on my phone as a reaction, but Mirror Tulip Lake, when she's in the costume and she's just looking the most upset she's ever been in her life, she just has like a wig on. It's so fucking funny to me. I'm like, this is me. Like, this is me as a person. I love it so much.
I love that.
And I think I tried to upload it to Bumble as a photo of myself, and they made me take it down because they were like, this is not a photo of you. I was like, but it is. It is a photo of me. Anyways.
Yeah. I also really love the overarching theme of this car.
Mm-hmm.
Of that whole, like, kind of isolation. Because I'm like, it is true, because I'm like, in a museum, you don't like talk to anyone else, really. You kind of, it's like a solitary thing, and you get in your head, and then suddenly, you know, you're looking at a piece of art and it all clicks, and then you're out.
I did like this plot line with Ryan, where he was like, oh, I get it. And he tried to like run into five different paintings. That was great. Moment of comedy.
Yeah, and then he got out, and the great thing I really loved about this particular episode is this theme of him coming Ryan coming back from Minji like multiple times,
yeah,
and he doesn't realize like how much it's like I've given up a lot for you, and you just don't seem to appreciate my friendship in that way. And I'm like, ooh, this really was touching on like toxic friendships.
Homosexuality. Yeah.
It was crazy.
I will die on this hill. I feel like you don't agree with me.
No, I do. It's just, I don't know. There's just so much. There were so many of them.
You don't want to go down that hole.
Because there's so many moments where I'm like, I could talk about this all day. And we don't have that much time.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the other. Oh, I did really like the, I forget what they called it. They had a name for it, but it was the dial that you turned and they started like evolving, the little aliens.
Oh, yeah. I forget what the thing was called.
They had a cool name for it and I was like, oh, that's good. But that was a really cool concept. I think like this season definitely won in like just bonkers concepts that I was like, I feel like they've had these things for years just like sitting on the docket and they're like, all right, we gotta use them. We gotta put giant pig baby in there, man. I've been wanting to put giant pig baby. And there was just like a whole bunch of shit.
I just love that all of those different types of people. And when it came to the end, it was just like, you guys need to like get over it, like move on with your life. I don't understand why you're harboring such hostility, but move on.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was true. That's like kind of how I felt about all the like, I mean, not that like Kez wasn't like, you know, she did fuck up in like certain respects, mm-hmm. but I was also like, they're so set on vengeance with her. Like,
yeah. They woke up and they were like, violence.
Yeah.
I need violence.
Literally.
And that one, like, fucking moth or whatever was just like, I'll never stop. And I'm like, isn't that old people?
Didn't he get eaten?
Yeah.
By the pig baby?
By pig baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, which is a metaphor. It's like, and you'll be eaten by the children of tomorrow. Goodbye.
Oh my god. I also feel like Pig Baby reminded me of something, and I'm trying to remember what it...
Oh, like something else in animation?
Yeah, it might be Spirited Away. Isn't there like a giant toddler in Spirited Away that, like, it's Baba Yaga's baby or something, and she has to...
Yeah. There is one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking that might also be...
Because it gets turned into a mouse.
Yes. That's right. And then she's like, my baby. I think that also is why Pig Baby disturbed me a little bit, because it reminded me of that. And I was like, that is also disturbing to me. I guess...
That was also a deep, disturbing thought.
I guess babies scare me, man. I don't know.
Maybe it's gigantic babies.
I think I'm like having a realization right now that I might be afraid of like babies, and like that it's just one of these like deep rooted fears.
This is so funny. Well, you know, just know that you'll be assaulted by several gigantic babies on your trip on the train.
I think it's gonna be just nothing but babies. Oh, that's really funny. Because I don't.
So I love that we.
Anyway. Yep.
So I love that we end the series with Train to Nowhere.
That was a bop. I do have to say, I completely forgot about that. The fact that they were just yeah.
I immediately went and saved the song. I was like, I need it.
I need it. I do. I do love that it was like, I feel like other people from the train in these past seasons have been like, it's been more of like a nuanced thing of like what they took from the train. But like this season, they were like, we wrote a whole fucking song about it. Here it is. Like,
well, they were gonna be musicians and whatnot anyway. They were like, let's run away. We're gonna become musicians. And they're like, well, we went through this whole crazy experience. Try and explain that shit like to someone else another day. That would be so fucking funny.
See, this is my thing. Okay, this just brings up, this is like so much about this, the concept of this world, that I'm just like, okay, these people, for the rest of their life, they have these memories. So they're like, do you like get married one day and then you're just talking to your spouse and you're like, oh yeah, that train that I was on that like doesn't exist, you know? I'm like, how do you, or do you just bury that shit deep down inside of you?
I mean, it's a good question. I've been wondering about that because we don't like talk to, I mean, we don't really deal with people off the train. Like once they get off the train, it's like, well, your story's over.
Like, so fucking it's not like we... Tulip had no reflection.
We don't get an epilogue or like a 10 years later interview.
Still bothers me.
I'm wondering if like the memory fades, like you still have like the lesson in your life, in your mind, but like the memory fades because, you know, that's just how memory works. I mean, we've dealt with a lot of younger people, but you're like, there are older people on the train.
Right. Right.
So I don't know. That's, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's actually really good. That's a good question. I mean, I feel like that sounds like a concept that I can't quite place it right now, but that sounds like another children's story where they like, maybe it's like fucking Narnia or something, where they like go to a world and then they, as children, and then when they get older, they, the memory fades, but it's still like with them. Like they don't quite.
I think it is Narnia. That does sound like something from Narnia.
Sounds like it. I don't know. I don't know enough about Narnia to fact check. but yeah, I don't know. I just like, it's just interesting to me. I guess when they created this show, they didn't want to fall into like the same old tropes. They didn't want to like fall into cliche tropes. So they really stuck with this like, no, the train is real concept, which I do really appreciate, because I feel like most of the time we do, I don't know, we don't see the real world consequences of like when we go into these fantasy worlds in children's media, but here we do. We really like, they really show how like the experience affected the main character.
Yeah. So I guess for us,
it's good.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like it.
I think the only confusing thing about that, because, you know, after four seasons, I'm like, I guess the train is literally just a sentient train in a parallel universe or pocket dimension that just goes on and on forever and ever.
Yeah.
And it, I like, takes pocket people dimension. Who are running away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just picks up people who are running away. Who, and gives them a place to stay or whatever. But what's, I think the only thing that confuses me about the whole thing is the whole learning a lesson.
Why?
Like, well, like, it doesn't confuse me in the concept. It just only confuses me in the sense of like, you know, what does the train get out of it? Or like, what does it want? Is it just like helping people? It's like, oh, you don't understand why you're running away. Let me help you with your problems so I can send you back on your way.
I don't think this is my issue with the train being a sentient being, because I do think that it is a sentient being, but I don't think it has motivation. I think it just is. I think it just exists. And to me, like, the castle from this season is like a more primitive version of the train. So like, the castle still has like, and by primitive I just mean like, you know, the castle still has like feelings and emotions and wants and desires and opinions, and the train is like the evolved form of that, where it's like, I don't have motivation, but I just am. Yeah, like, I don't know if anything I'm saying makes sense, but that's kind of how I was thinking about it.
Yeah, maybe it's like one of those things where it's like, here, you can stay here, and like, I can tell, like, give you a literal actual hint or like a number that tells you like how you can get home if that's how you want to get there. But if you don't, because I mean, like if you don't want to get off the train, you don't have to.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, okay. So if we're going with the fucking religious metaphor, like the train is God, like the train is, you know, because God is a sentient being in, you know, some respect, but like Also, God is just like omnipotent and everywhere and has no motivation of their own. It's just that they are a being that can guide you.
Mm.
Right? So the train is God.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm sticking with that theory.
Does that make one Jesus?
Yes.
I like how we always just go with like a Judeo-Christian thing. I feel like there's probably a better mythos.
This is a Western show. Okay, the train is a God.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably, I don't know, as someone who like delves in mythology, I'm like, there's probably like a better like
allegory,
creation mythos.
Yeah.
Yeah, a creation mythos that aligns with this, because I'm like, I don't know, one being Jesus doesn't like line up enough for me.
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily line up, but like,
yeah,
I think the train is a God, and I am going with that theory. Because then, you also,
I guess by extension,
you also said earlier the train is like the Mother Earth, who is also, you know, a goddess to like a pagan or a Wiccan belief. So there you go.
Okay. I mean, that kind of makes sense. It's like the train, it's like, it's almost, I don't want to say like Eden, but like kind of. It's like if you leave, you can get off the fucking train and go into the desert and probably die with the crickets that want to get you. I am. Who literally wants to suck out your soul and become something else.
Mm-hmm.
See, they want your life essence. So I guess they're like demon metaphors.
I think, right. I think I've been thinking about the train as a place, because I think we discussed before the train being purgatory. But actually now that I think this makes more sense to me. Now, I also don't think that like the creator or creators have a definitive answer for this. I don't think there's like any code to be cracked. I'm just, as a viewer, trying to, you know, make sense of, like, you know, make, put meaning to the world. And to me, this makes sense, that the train is a godlike being.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole like number thing is just like you said, like, I'm going to give you a hint of how you can make your way through this. But I'm not gonna tell you. I'm just, this is your guidance. You get there. And that's kind of what the gods do.
Yeah.
They guide you. According to
some. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love mythology. I love stories about deities. It's so fun.
Agree. That kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Like, I like love the whole concept of like the afterlife and like what you know, the spirits and that sort of stuff. I think that Infinity Train has given us a really cool world to explore. And I would be very upset if this were really it, because
I mean, according to IMDb, it says it ended this year. So
sometimes IMDb is a liar.
it is, but
no, I think we should keep tabs on what happens with this, and I feel like there could be something, even if, like I said, it's comics or whatever, like,
yeah,
you know,
we'll see what happens with this particular property. But this was a great season. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed myself.
I think it's maybe my least favorite, but that I did enjoy it. I did. But I,
that's funny.
I think if I had to rank them, I think this would be on the bottom. Oh, wait.
Let's do a quick ranking then. Let's quick rank.
Okay. You go first.
Okay. So I would probably say one, four, two, three. No, that's not right.
Okay.
Because honestly, I feel like I, like, one would probably be at the bottom for me.
Okay.
Oh, that's so bad.
No.
I feel so bad for saying that.
No, don't feel bad.
Maybe 2, 3, 4, 1.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Hmm. That feels right.
Okay.
Or maybe 2, 4, 3, 1. Yeah, that seems right.
Okay.
2, 4, 3, 1.
Yeah. Okay. Mine would probably be, if I just gut feeling, I haven't rewatched them. I've only ever seen each of them once. So gut feeling, I would have to say, three, two, one, four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can go with that. Makes sense.
We gave this a lot of thought.
We did. And you know what? We did it.
I think three has to be at the top for me because... Wait, did you also rank it top? Or did you rank two?
Two and then three.
Okay. I think three has to be at the top for me because... It built enough on the narrative and on the world that it just like was the most interesting. And I think had my favorite characters. Like I loved Tulip and Mirror Tulip and all that, but Grace and Kevin or whatever that guy's name was were the most interesting to me, like the most dynamic. So
yeah. No, I can agree with that. That's why it's probably my second.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very close, because I'm like, I did really like season three, even though I was, like, really pissed off for a good bit, because I was like, what? Why won't you learn a lesson?
Learn a fucking lesson. Yeah.
Learn something from this.
Exactly. No, I think that's why four, to me, I'm just like, okay, we took a huge step back from the buildup that we got to season three. Like, season four to me felt like a huge step back. And I understand that it was quote-unquote a prequel, but I just mean, like, information and world-building-wise. And that's why I feel like it was supposed to be the penultimate season, because it felt like, okay, we're gonna go back a little bit, we're gonna feed you these little bits, then we're gonna come back in another segment and wrap things up. And I don't necessarily mean like delving into all the information or all the stories, just more of like tonally, world building wise.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, it felt like there needed to be one more season.
Yes, there either needs to be a fifth season or a movie to button it up.
Yeah,
but
so
this does. Like, story-wise, if this was the penultimate, this would have been, like, choice.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I think if they do a season five, which I would hope that they would do, they could do a kind of, well, I don't know if I would want that. I was going to say they could do a kind of, like, chopped up season where it's, like, we finished the Grace story. Mm-hmm. We finished the Amelia story. That type of thing. But
I would trust them to like do it well, because I think they're I think their writers are very good at like tying storylines and that sort of stuff together. So
yeah, I think those are the only two that I would want to button up.
Again, me and my memory. I don't even remember what happened with Grace. Like, I don't remember the end of season three at all. She didn't get off the train, right?
No, the Apex was changing. They were like, don't need to be doing what we're doing.
That's right, but her number did go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, all the kids, like, their numbers were just going like...
Yeah, that would be cool to, like, return then chronologically to present, quote-unquote, present time. And... kind of like we see a little bit of her, we see a little bit of Amelia, like maybe, you know, it's probably a whole new story again of a new passenger, but like their story then interacts with like other things that we've seen. Again, the cat, would love to fucking know more about the cat. Yeah
my hope for it would be we would get a new passenger, their companion would be the guy who died at the end of season three, now turned into one of the creatures who lives on the train. I would like he to be her companion and to learn a fucking lesson. and actually help someone else for once.
Wait, was that confirmed canon? Is that what happens to people who died?
No, but I'm choosing to believe that. Because
wasn't it something with the gorilla with Tuba that they were like, she was actually a person? I don't remember. Okay, you know what?
No, we thought she was, but then they were like, it seemed like no, she was always like one of those things, and blah blah blah.
Yeah. Can't remember a goddamn thing. But yes, I would love that. I would agree with that. Because that would just, like, again, like, just narratively in general, like, I don't need everything explained to me. I just feel like we need a little bit more.
Yeah.
Of what we saw.
But all in all, great series. Hopefully this is not the end, but if it is, I guess we've just got to get off this train to nowhere.
Just got to go. Train to nowhere.
And then I just insert the song and then.
Great. It plays us out like the Oscars music.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. No, I, like I said, I did really enjoy this season. I'm not knocking this season at all. Just, you know, and if I had to rank them, this would be on the bottom, which we did rank them, and it was. So.
those are my thoughts.
Love that. Love that journey for us. Love that journey for everybody. What are we talking about next time?
Don't know. Are we going to talk about Are You the One? You'll probably be done by then.
I mean, we definitely have to add that to this season, because I so many thoughts. And I've just started the gay one, which I'm like, oh my god, it's too much. But maybe we can do Girls 5 Eva.
Okay.
Because we have been thinking about doing that, and I did watch it.
Okay.
So maybe we can do that, and if you would like to watch Rutherford Falls, we can, like I said, shoehorn that in there. But it's not necessary. I just feel like there's one or two things that we could probably discuss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll work on it.
Sounds so sarcastic, but no, I'm serious. I am. But as always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.